7:04 a.m. You're listening to DJ Marty here on AFN, Road of the Eagle, and I am here with NAFS, the CEO. And of course, we have another special guest today. We have RegCom Admiral, Rear Admiral Collins. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here with you.
I'm excited to have you. This is actually my last show, too. So hopefully it goes well for you guys.
I'd heard that. We thought we wanted to have you go out with a bang.
Yeah, no, I'm going to miss doing the radio. It's a lot of fun. But, you know, that's not what we're here about. You know, we're here to talk about kind of a little bit of your background, sir. We'll get into it more into detail, but, you know, can you give us the basics?
The real basics of the background. By the way, you having your last show is important, too. That's one thing to remember. So basics of my background. Let's see. Grew up in California, went to the academy, then went into flight school. Most of my sea duty tours have been on the East Coast because my wife's from Florida. Commanded HSL 42 out in Jacksonville, and then a major command in Naval Support Activity Suda Bay. My first flag tour was in the Northwest region, and then I've been out in your absent two and a half years or so at this point. Loving it out here. And some of the other places I've been to over my tour, I was a nuke bomber planner in Omaha, Nebraska at STRATCOM, and did a tour at Missile Defense Agency in Colorado. So been a few nice places out there, and great time enjoying what I do in the Navy. It's busy right now. We'll talk about that a little bit, but that's a quick snapshot.
And you've been everywhere but the West Coast. You know,
I'm from the West Coast, and I think maybe that has something to do with having a wife from Florida is why I didn't end up on the West Coast.
No, she was like, yeah, we're never going back.
Too many people, too many taxes, all that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get a little bit into more details, but first coming up next is Go With The Flow with Queens of Stone Age. 7:08 a.m., you're listening to DJ Marty. We are back with the RegCom and RCO. We got a little bit into your background, sir, and now it's... You know, you're visiting Rota. It's my favorite duty station, my favorite place. I'm sure.
Finest installation in the fleet. So
it's one of my favorite places, too. So
yeah, he has to say one of his favorite places because the other ICOs might be listening.
So. They could be.
It's no competition. We know it. This is it, and that's just how it is.
Don't worry. Every place I go to is my favorite place. So
just like our kids. Both my kids are my favorite kids.
See, my mom was not that nice. She's very honest. She's like, it's not you. But... No, but, you know, you get to visit, and obviously you're not just here for vacation. There's a lot going on.
Yes, definitely not vacation, yes.
But, yeah, you're here to do kind of like a family visit, and you're inspecting some of the things on base?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's not a family visit, but we are doing facility visits around the base here. So, obviously, one of our concerns and part of CNO's vision is the foundation of the Navy, and the installations play a big part in that foundation. And we have to be very careful in the use of our resources on the shore, because in the Navy, everyone knows we have some expensive platforms that we have to pay for out there. So coming out to take a look at some of the facilities, we were out at CYP, the gym, yesterday, went out to some of the other parts of the base. We've also done some project site visits out there for the defense fuel support points, parts of the installation, very important for the fleet, as well as security and safety of the fuel that's in there. Also yesterday, we spent some time with some of the security forces that were out on post. You know, the rains came in, and there's the security team out there as they are 24/7, making sure everybody's safe and secure. So it was nice to see some of the young sailors on post doing a great job out there as well.
Yeah, the weather has not been the greatest. It's not too bad, though, you know.
It's not bad. I'll take this. So. It's been humid in Naples this year, so this is very nice. So.
No, it's not bad at all. But I'm sure your visit has a lot to do with the fact that the base is growing a little bit, you know, and you got to kind of prepare for that. You know, how does dealing with those hurdles, because, you know, space isn't unlimited.
Yeah, so with Oscar Austin coming in next week, obviously sure. A big time for the base. I know CO and the rest of the team is prepping for that, so I appreciate the time that they could spend with me this week, because that is a big event, going to have lots of VIPs coming in. It's a big deal in the Navy when we move a ship from one home port to another. And and you're right, it is going to bring an influx of people over here. And that will have some growing pains along with it. But really, the CEO and the team out here have been working this for a few years at this point, if not a little bit longer. And so they're in the final stages of integrating that ship into everything else that's going on out here. And I don't see any concerns on how that's going to play itself out. But at the end of the day, we're going to have another ship out here to meet the needs of the Navy and the world, because this AOR is in turmoil out there right now, and our ships are all over the place, doing what they've been trained to do, protecting shipping, global shipping from around the world, as well as our allies and friends. So very important to get another ship on station here so we can relieve, hopefully, some of the op tempo that those crews are facing right now on the destroyer. So.
And if I can mention something with that, sir, the only reason we can get Oscar Austin out here is the relationship that we have with Spain. So part of what we're going to be able to do with the Admiral's visit here is make sure he has the chance to meet with Al Ardiz to help reinforce the relationships that we have. And we also timed it such that the Admiral can join us for the Navy Ball. And the only reason I bring that up is we take a look at our history. It's almost a quarter of a millennia that our Navy's been on the seas. But being here, what I love about celebrating the Navy Ball here is we still feel like the kid brother. When we talk about the history that we have with the Navy, despite the fact that we're the most powerful force on the seas right now, we're partnered with a nation who has seen the most powerful armadas that have ever flown or ever sailed the seas throughout history. What they have here and the way that we're able to work together with those partners it's pretty amazing to me, the way that we're able to work together.
Yeah, I think for a Navy Ball, you're right, Teague. Nothing better than being able to celebrate our Navy birthday in a nation that's contributed so much to naval operations throughout the history of the world. So pretty daunting, actually, to be in a place like that. So,
yes, sir.
Looking forward to it tonight.
Yeah, the ball sounds awesome. Definitely check that out if you can. And it's a lot of big changes that are coming to the base. But, you know, there are other changes coming. And one of the big ones is the expansion on the American Navy's warfighting plan. And I know we've had a couple guests on the show talk about it before, but it's huge. There's a lot of big things coming for sailors. And
yeah, I think the CNO's done a great job, both in the new NAV plan that was released, and I won't go into too much of that, but also as well her vision for America's warfighting Navy, and it's helped crystallize her focus and the focus of the rest of us on what is most important. Where should we be putting our resources and our time? And when you're so busy like we are over the gamut of operations and just life and everything in general, being able to go back to what our most senior officer thinks about where should we be spending our time is very important. And she does. She hits right on the WWF, the war fighting. And talking about bringing our decisive combat power through our platforms everywhere where we need to be. Our war fighters, you know, all of us that are out there, how are we being trained? How are we building our resilience? And how are we preparing ourselves to use those platforms and the combat power it provides going forth? And then lastly, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, the foundation, you know, what are we doing with those resources and the time that are preparing the fleets and our war fighters to go out and do our nation's business? And so that's the foundation part of it. The shore, obviously, with Camp Suarez has a lot to do with that side of it, but the foundation goes much, much further than that, because we have a lot of critical infrastructure, both CONUS and OCONUS, that needs to be revitalized from when we originally put it in. And that's pretty resource heavy at this point, and so we have to be cautious with our plans in the future.
And I will say, from my perspective, what I most appreciate about what the CNO has provided in terms of guidance is straight recognition of the foundation, recognition of the importance of the installations, because I think it's easy to focus on the ships and the aircraft and the deploying units, which is our job. Our job is to make sure that the warfighting units are able to deploy on time, every time, with the resources they need to execute their mission. But acknowledging that we have to be healthy to be able to support that, I think has been fantastic, to help all of us understand just how important our job is in ensuring we're meeting some of the strategic objectives in the only theater in the world right now where we're facing two active combat zones, two conflicts.
Yeah, I think CNO, having been in Sixth Fleet before, is a benefit to all of us. And she also sees the shore as and the installations as platforms. And it really is true. I mean, if you look at Naval Station Rota and you compare it to one of the other platforms that we have, air ops, port ops, you got berthing for people, food, taking care of people, all the other mission sets that you would have on a, let's say, a ship or a seagoing platform, they're all taking place here, including defense of that platform and everything that goes with it. And if you look at the shore through that lens, then it becomes a lot more clear of the importance of our installations and how to treat them in the grand scheme of how we prioritize our resources and funding. So,
absolutely. Yeah, being a young sailor, you see the guys walk around base on shore duty and you're like, I hate you. You have it so easy. Until you go, to shore duty and you kind of see all those moving parts. Like you said, everything that's operating on the ship is almost on the shore side. And you get a little bit more of a understanding and you value it more, the simple things. But it's definitely it's nice how well everything works together here on the base. It's awesome. It makes my life great. I don't have, it makes it a lot better.
And I think it's unique here, too. We have the blessing and the curse of being Okonis. The blessing being that we have the opportunity to be much more focused on operational support. Back stateside, it's a very different kind of support. They're more of the force development, and we're here the force employment side of it. So we get to see the direct effect of the work that we have. That does help us here.
Absolutely. And we're going to be taking a quick little break, and then we'll be back with some strategies that are getting planned here specifically for Naval Station Rota. But coming up next is Fortnite by Taylor Swift here on AFN Rota the Eagle, serving America's best. 7:23 a.m. You're listening to DJ Marty, and we are back with RegCom. We kind of got a little in detail about some of the things going on around the base, but we're going to talk about you, sir. You got a pretty interesting career, a lot more interesting than mine. And, you were over at Sudo Bay for a bit. How was that?
Yeah, so Sudo Bay, very, very nice place to go. I have to say I lucked out a little bit on getting that one for Major Command. For those who have been to Sudo Bay before, so I'd pulled in several times as a HSL pilot. We were detached on small boys, so on cruisers and other ships, a few times I'd pulled into Sudo Bay. And if you've been there before, this story will make sense. But we pulled into port, and every time we pulled in, we would hop on a bus and go downtown, have some dinner, come back to the ship. And then I came to command there, and they picked me up at the airport and drove me to the base. And I was like, where am I? And they're like, this is Sudo Bay. This is your base. And I was like, I've never been here before to this side of it. Because in Sudo Bay, you have what I call the top side where the airfield is, and you have the port where the ship is, and the two are separated by a little bit. And I had never made it to the base before. But it's a beautiful place. And just like here with the Spanish, tremendous partners in everything that we do. It's been nice to see the growth of Sudo Bay over time. Not often do you get to, because projects on an installation take years and years to be completed. And so the CO here, he'll have several projects, and he'll think, oh, I'll get to see this thing, get to completion. And you won't unless you come back at some point. It's just the way it works. But I have the benefit now, several years later of coming back to the base and actually seeing some of the projects get close to completion, and maybe I'll see the end of a few of them. But these are large projects to enhance the future of the installation. So it's been nice to see that in Sudo Bay. They are the little base that punches pretty high. They've got a whole bunch of forces on that installation right now. Just like with Rota, when this base had surged to take care of the Niger redeployment of those forces and equipment out of there, that was a heavy lift for this base. Sudo, because of their geographic location, gets a lot of other, especially aircraft, flowing through that installation. And the rest of the region is busy as well. Well, we have the BMD sites up in Poland and Romania. They're both operational right now. Sigonella, lots of growth there with unmanned aircraft and the P-8s flying out of there. Djibouti, always busy down there as that base helps house Joint Task Force Horn of Africa and counter VEO ops down in that AOR. And then for my region, it spreads all the way to the Middle East and all the threats that are going on out there, whether it be Bahrain or some of our other sites. So a lot going on out there. I'm happy to be here. As Skipper said, it's very operational, and I enjoy the fact that we're busy, but it's real and it's making a difference for those that are on the pointy end of the spear out there. So I could deal with that all day long, dealing with that side of issues. It's very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's busy here. It's a nice, what's a very different pace than, you know, being back stateside, but it is nice. You know, you definitely feel the impact of the things that you're doing here. You know, you keep talking about Suda Bay, so I'm kind of curious, what is your favorite duty station?
Oh gosh, my favorite duty station. That's really not a fair question. You know, that puts me in trouble with so many people along the way. How about I'll go with this? My least favorite duty station. How about I'll do that? That's easy. Millington, Tennessee. Did not like Millington, Tennessee.
Speaking of pissing people off right away.
Let me throw. Don't worry. There's nobody from PERS actually in the office right now, so they'll answer your phone remotely if something happens.
Gonna get some corrections on your LES next.
I was gonna say my orders might be all jacked up by this point. Favorite one, Suda Bay was a highlight. It's just a very unique place. Tell you what, one that not a lot of Navy people get to go to, I mentioned it earlier, was Colorado Springs. Very, very nice. If you could add an ocean to Colorado Springs, I think I would probably, we'd probably settle down there forever.
I love Colorado. That's my hometown. It's my favorite place.
It's a nice place out there. But really almost every installation, I mean, we had a lot of love for Pensacola, you know, one of my first places in training there. Jacksonville is great. Hopefully everybody in Florida is doing well with a storm rolling through the state there. And but really all of them have been nice. But
so I don't know if you're like me at all, sir, in that it seems like every time I get a new duty station, with the exception of the Puzzle Palace, I'm like, this place is amazing. I can't believe I've never had the chance to do X, Y, or Z here before. And I think a lot of it is, for me, it's the way that my scope just keeps broadening and broadening with every new duty station. So it was great being in Japan for my first fleet tour, out there exploring a new culture, but I'm so focused on the cockpit and learning things. Then the next step is teaching people. Then the next step is being a department head. And every time I take a new step, I think I love those duty stations because of the opportunities that I had to lead, to learn, to discover something new about that, because my perspective had changed so much.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. The places are nice, but it really, at the end of the day, and this is going to sound a little cliche, but it's not. It's really about the people you meet during their time. They will drive the memories, the relationships you have in your future. I've worked with Captain Suarez in the past before, so we have a background that goes a little bit further back. And if you were to ask me what my favorite tour was in the Navy, it was not even close. Commanding of a squadron was my favorite tour. And we still have those relationships from all, I mean, HSL squadron is pretty big. So we had a lot of pilots, a lot of great relationships from there that continue on to this day. We've seen families come together, kids born, lots of changes over time. They know my family, we know theirs. So it really is about the people at the end of the day. I mean, last night here, we were out to eat, and by the time we got done, had seen a NAFAC captain that had worked for me over in Naples, who's retired out here, and he looks like he's having a great time out here. Captain Joe Hart, in case you ever listen to this in the morning. So he's a great guy. My chaplain and the chaplain from here were there. And then I call him a junior pilot. He was a junior pilot when we knew
him. Commander now.
Yeah, he's a commander. Nick Moreno, he's out here with a couple of guys for the Jaguars out here. So it's a big Navy, but it's a small Navy, and it is really about the relationship and the people, and they will make or break a place that you're at. It could be the most beautiful place in the world, but if you're not working with people you want to be with, you might not think too highly of that spot. So
yeah, the people definitely make it. I know my favorite has been when I had like back-to-back deployments, but you know, we had a you're in a great environment, and even though you're working 7 days a week and you're just, you know, nonstop, you're just having a good time, and even, you know, here at the station, it's a lot more relaxed than being, you know, deployed on a ship. And now I'm just like, I want to go back. It's a better, not that I, you know, I love everybody here, but it's just that when you're in a really good environment with really good people, it's just the work is almost not irrelevant, but that's not really what you're focused on. You're focused on, you know, being with a good team, and it's a good time.
Yeah, if you're doing deployment right, it's a great feeling out there doing the mission, being with the team. I mean, it's what you train for in your life and your profession. So it's very important. And it can go by quickly at times. It goes by slowly at others. But
days are long, but the weeks are short.
Yes, exactly. So, and of course, being away from family, not fun. But we all sign up, and our families serve right along with us as well. And that's important to remember. So.
Absolutely. We're going to take another quick little break, and then we'll be back with some more questions for you, sir. But first, coming up next is Belong Together by Mark Abdor. 7:39 a.m. You're listening to DJ Marty. We are back with Rear Admiral Collins, the RegCom. You know, we were talking a bit about your favorite duty station, your favorite place you've been. And one thing that I got to ask you, sir, is your favorite food. You don't have to say Rota. I am a big advocate that the Spain's biggest weak point is their food. So I'm curious. Is it Ceuta Bay food? Greek food?
I like Greek food, but I like all food for the most part. But my favorite food, if I had to pick one, I think probably fish tacos, something. I'm thinking Southern California, fish tacos in that regard. Definitely can't get that in Italy. I mean, if you want pizza or pasta, Italy's your place, but anything else. So I miss the ability to get food from the Southwest and, you know, some of the places I grew up with in California. So,
how about you, sir?
Favorite food?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Well, for my kids out there, it's Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts. But honestly, I think some of the food that we had when we were up in the northern part of Spain, the pinchos that they have up there, the variety that they had, it was absolutely amazing. Some of the best food I've ever had. But it's probably some of the food that we had up in France. I think they do food right in France.
It's incredible.
So both Paris and some of the other places we visited, absolutely amazing food there.
I'm sorry. What's the thing I can never remember? Tortillas de camarones?
Tortillas de camarones. Oh, those are amazing. Yeah.
I got to go to that place you said that has really good ones.
Over in Sanlúcar de Barrameda. Yeah, they have some great places over there.
For their tortillas.
So good.
I know. It's good food here. The only thing we're missing here is spices. You know, that's not a...
It is a different level. The way that they get after flavors is a little bit different than I think what we grew up with, especially in California and SoCal.
By the way, that's not unique to here. Ceuta Bay, Greece, same way. Italy, I mean, they'll warn you, right? This is going to be really spicy. You're like, I think I can handle it. And then you taste it. You're like, I'm not sure there was any spice in it. It's very good, but there were no spices in it.
So. It's healthy, you know? It's healthy. I've lost a lot of weight since I've been here. It's good for you.
Yeah.
But one of the other things, sir, is I'm curious to... You're kind of a jack of all trades. You've been all over the world. And... what is something about your job that people don't expect, you know, that kind of catches them off guard when you tell them?
I think for other people in the military, other senior officers, they're pretty shocked by the scope of this job. The fact that it's Europe, Africa, and Central Command, the theaters, that's not how the other services would divide up where they place their senior officers. So that's usually pretty surprising. I think for everyone else, I think they're surprised by how little time. As you get more senior, my focus in a lot of my meetings and everything comes from the senior officers that I work for. So I spend a lot of time, I guess, looking up and answering questions to higher echelons, and I don't get to spend as much time with the sailors as I would like, as I remember in my squadron. That's why I like those commands and being base CO and interacting with everyone. So it's going to sound silly, but when I go to installations and have lunch with the sailors, like my favorite part of the job that I do, because the rest of it is kind of workish stuff, and that's all great. But like we talked about, the people are the most important, and the best times I get on the road are with the lunches. So I think sailors hear that, they think I'm kidding when I say this is the favorite part of what I do, but I'm not. It is the most favorite part of what I do.
Absolutely. So.
Yeah, it's interesting to see when you meet. I know our community, the MC community, it changes. You know, every couple of months, everything is changing with like media, and you see the new guys come in fresh out of school, and it's just interesting to see how different they see things. You know, they start putting things together, and you're like, I would have never assumed that. They come in and they're like, yeah, I used AI. That's a big one, you know.
I would say that's one of my favorite parts about what we're doing right now, though, seeing all those interesting different perspectives that people bring. Because I know that if you have a bunch of old guys like me and younger guys like the Admiral who keep running the fleet, we're going to keep running the fleet the same way. And the world is going to come at us in a way that we don't expect. So having all these younger sailors come in with their different perspectives, different priorities, different backgrounds, they're changing, they're forcing the Navy to think differently about the way that we look at things, about the way that we fight. And I think it's critical as we start to look at the potential friction points that we have facing us.
Yeah, it's things are changing quickly.
They are. Yeah, I love it.
We're getting there. But we're going to take another quick little break, and then we'll be back with some more things going around the base. But first, coming up next is Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer. 7:54 a.m. You're listening to DJ Marty here on AFN, A Road of the Eagle. It is a morning, Joe, with the CO, and we are back with Rear Admiral Collins, RegCom. We kind of went a lot in depth, but not too in depth, about you and your career. So we're going to be shifting focus a little bit and hit some of the stuff going on around the base. It is spooky season. They have pumpkin spice lattes at the next, and I get one every day. It's my favorite time of the year. You get all the pumpkin spice candles, you know. But MWR is putting together a lot of events.
They are, yeah. So, number one, this is, in my opinion, the second best time of year. Best time of year is around the holidays in wintertime when it actually gets cool. But I do love, my wife went back to the States. She went to one of our favorite stores and came back with a bunch of, like, pumpkin flavored things because I'm nuts about that stuff. And now me and my kids are fighting over who gets to eat the last of the pumpkin cookies. So I do love this time of year. My wife loves Halloween. If for those who are going to be on the installation for trick or treating, please come by the circle and see the stuff that we put up there last year. We had an 18 foot tall orange pumpkin, a blow up, and this year we're adding to it. So it's quite the spectacle. We do love it.
Is that 19 foot pumpkin? Is that what?
No, it's an animal now. We're gonna have a
Well, don't give it away.
I don't want to give it away. It's gonna the big reveal later on.
All right.
And around the installation, it's the time to kind of start looking forward to some of the holidays. I always look at Halloween as the kickoff for the big holiday season, and we have Trunk or Treat coming up. So that weekend right before Halloween, we're going to take over the drive-in theater. We're going to have upwards of, you know, dozens, maybe hundreds of cars that are there who are going to be all decorated. Last year, it was a great time. There's going to be candy for everybody. A little bit different this year in that MWR has two... My wife just sent me a text saying, don't give it away. I'm not going to give it away, I promise. We have two different sign-ups for when people are going to be able to go through to do Trunk or Treat to give everybody a good chance, because it's so popular, it just gets really crowded and overwhelmed. This way we get all the kids the chance to go through and celebrate and see all the cool trunks and get the candy that they got. And then, of course, on Halloween, it is one of my favorite intercultural exchanges that we have here, because we do open up the gates to some of the members of the community out there. So our Spanish friends get to come on board and see how we celebrate Halloween. Can be a little bit chaotic, but it's our chance to show them what it means to us. And they get dressed up and they come, and some of the little kids, as they're trying to figure out how to say trick or treat, which is not the easiest thing to say for those who grew up speaking Spanish. But it is really cool sharing all of that with them. So I'm really excited about this time of year. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
I do have to ask you, I know we're got some time, a little bit of time compressed, is in Greece, Halloween and trunk or treat was a big thing to the Greeks, because it's not really a cultural thing in Greece. Is that the same way here where they come over and see what happens on the American side?
They do. So we use the trunk or treat. That's for us. And then the trick or treat, that's open to everybody. Okay. So they will come on hours before, and they line up at the barriers just waiting to have the chance to come in and,
nice.
And get it.
Yeah, and every time we open the base, 4th of July, trunk or treat, anything to like – they're very accepting of us and their culture, and they want to experience ours too. And then the base is, you know, like trick or treat is, and the trick or treat gets crazy. The amount of people that come on base is.
Nice. And this year, the local community Rota wants to share a piece of what they do this time of year too. So on the first, the Dia de Muerte, they're going to open up some of the celebrations that they have out in town and want to welcome us to come out there and celebrate with them. So I think over the next couple of weeks, we'll get some more information about what that's going to look like out in the community. So we can celebrate Halloween, and then we can celebrate one of the important dates for the Spanish community the very next day.
Absolutely. And the last little bit for today's show, it is almost the Navy's birthday, 249th birthday.
Yeah.
It's getting up there, getting a little old. And this year, you know, the theme
looks
is
good for age, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. The theme is warfighting strength and readiness. Those are topics that you covered today, sir. But yeah, it's it's a traditional. I don't know. I feel like I'm barely scraping. I've done 10 years, nothing compared to the extent of what the Navy is. But in those 10 years, it's definitely changing very, very quickly.
Yeah, the it's always nice to celebrate the Navy's birthday, especially overseas, because you get that cross-cultural aspect of the event, and so being able to spend the 249th birthday with you all here, and for me personally and for my wife Carrie, it's awesome to be able to spend it with Skipper Suarez and his wife, because for us it's kind of a full circle sort of thing, getting to spend this time with them. And I guess I'm just saying, it's the 249th and we don't want to look ahead, but holy cow, next year, 250, bicentennial, it's going to be a big one. So wherever you're at, get ready. And if you're a person that doesn't go to Navy balls normally, just plan on going next year. Should be pretty wild.
So. Yeah, the Navy ball's going on today. That's a big one.
It is tonight.
But thanks for coming in, sir. We appreciate it. Coming in, Captain Suarez. We will see you very, very soon.
Yeah.
That's going to be it for today's show. Coming up next is Hold On, We're Going Home by Drake on AFN Road of the Eagle, serving America's best.